It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
The best college football coverage in Utah is right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Let's go!
The Utes travel to Corvallis for a showdown against the improved Oregon State Beavers as Kyle Whittingham and the Utes look to pick up another Pac-12 win. You're listening to Unrivaled with Alex Keery and Scott Mitchell on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
Billy Idol yesterday, all right? It's fine. Just let me get back to my childhood for once, would you, Scott? Please. So, Band of the Day brought to you by Live Nation Concerts. For the latest tour news and artist insight, go to livenation.com.
Alex, why do you're by far the youngest out of this group.
Yes. Why do you have to say by far? Well, you know what? Actually, you guys are by far way older than me. That's the way I like to put it.
But why did the Utes get a go? Why did the Cougars get a go at 30 and the Utes are at 50?
That's what Scott was trying to yell about during the break.
Right, yeah.
What's up with that? Somebody has to go first. It's not up to me. Yeah, I put it in the rundown that way, but it's fine. I mean, that's just the way it is. Sorry.
Well, it's not just the way it is. It's how it should be.
Yeah.
That's how it should be.
Lemonade it.
Let's give it a proper billing. You know, it's like this. Utah, then the BYU.
The BYU. You put your hand pretty far down there, too, after that.
And then the Weber State.
Okay.
Then the Utah State.
So Utah State gets fourth on the list there for you.
Well, they're the furthest north.
Yeah, that's what he listed off.
But I'm a big Weber guy too.
I know. We know that. We know that history. So we're here at the store, 2050 South, 2050 East, and 6200 South. You can come by, hang out, and high five us here. But we have a lot to get through here. We just played that clip of Kalani Sitake saying, "Hey, we got some injuries." I mean, we talked to the play-by-play voice of the Washington State Cougars yesterday, and he said, "We're healthy. The Cougars are not." And when Coach Sitake says, "Yeah, we feel like we're a deep team," that's like the biggest knock on BYU. Certainly in these pre-Big 12 era, everyone's going, that's the problem with independence is the depth, right? I mean, that's the thing that's been the biggest problem for them to try to figure out how to do this. So when he says we feel like we're a deep team, I think that that's an area that Washington State knows that they might have a little bit of an edge on in some of these positions to say they're not as deep as a Power 5 program.
Yeah, it's different when you're playing in the Mountain West Conference and the Western Athletic Conference back when we were playing, Scott, because, you know, you're recruiting – you have a recruiting advantage if you're BYU against those schools. And then when University of Utah goes to the Pac-12, and then all of a sudden the Pac-12 is coming in and taking a lot of kids out of Utah.
Right.
You start to lose kind of some of the pipelines that BYU had, which are being restored right now, including the one to Hawaii. But
we'll get better with the conference play.
Yeah, and you find yourself in a position where your ones are really good and your twos are good, but they're not great. And if your ones get hurt and you're relying on your twos and you're going up against a team that's in the Pac-12, even if it's Washington State and not, you know, a perennial power in the Pac-12, then you start to be exposed a little bit, I think.
Yeah, and it's kind of what's happening to the Jazz this year, where they have more depth.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about that depth where over the course of a season – You're not so banged up. You're not so beat up, you know. And if you can have a defensive line, you have a bigger rotation. You can, you know, because I watched that with Utah, and how, you know, they've got 6-7 guys that they can rotate through, and so it may be a couple of minutes here or there, but it just over the course of the season, it really keeps people fresh, healthy, and it gets your team playing at a high level, high speed level, all the way throughout the game and throughout the season.
So Utah probably has 10 defensive linemen that could play.
Yeah.
You know, legitimate guys.
Yeah.
And all young, too. Most of them are young players. And the offensive line, they're very deep, too. So they probably got 2.5 strings on the offensive line that are legitimate. And so, and when you watch them, you know, I always like to watch the teams warm up, you know, for the game. I want to see. And I've been impressed with what the bodies look like in Utah. You know, they just look like they're supposed to look. You know, they're in shape, you know, and they got the one freshman, I guess he's a freshman or sophomore D lineman inside guy. I just call him the Pop, because every time he hits somebody,
it pops him.
Pop!
Yep.
I go out to Bryce, hey, you got to watch so-and-so.
Did you hear that? Did you hear the practice voice come out and coach us now, too? It was like that.
So when you would watch guys in warm-ups, like you said, I mean, you looked at their body. Was it just their body, or what kind of things would you look
I'm
for when
for
people?
I'm looking for their hands. I'm looking for what their attitude is, you know, where they're at mentally. You know, and the same thing I did with Arizona State. I watched them in warm-ups. I just want to see where their minds are. And then I watched Arizona State come off the field. I went over and watched them come back into the locker room, and they were ready to play. You know, there was no BS with their coaches. There was no BS with their kids. Their kids were exactly locked in. But and then I talked to a lot of the Utah coaches before the game. You know, they'd come over and they'd sit down and talk, but they felt really good about that, this particular game, and they felt that they could wear down Arizona State, and eventually Arizona State would slow down.
Which is exactly what happened. I mean, that was the thing is we saw these guys in warm up, and we're watching them, and I'm going, I mean, and from an offensive line standpoint, Devin Cafusi was speaking to us earlier this week, and he goes, they have an extremely good, maybe the most talented offensive line, best graded out offensive line in the Pac-12 is Oregon State, who they're taking on this weekend, and they are a run first team. But that was the interesting thing they said was they came in with a different scheme. Every so often, Devin Lloyd's putting his hand in the dirt, which I love to see because the guy's such a good rusher. He's so smart. But when you have all these, we were talking about these injuries and things like that, and all these guys, we talk about wearing down throughout the game. If the rotation is every guy that comes in could probably be a starter, then obviously there's going to be a massive advantage there. I think on BYU's offensive line, as Coach Satake was just saying, as we were coming back here, they've had injuries that have gotten them into a bad spot in some of these plays. I think the Boise State game, there were more injuries problems there than they were probably leading on. It was definitely more of a problem for them. But Joe Tukuafu's back, Harris LaChance is back on the offensive line. I mean, everybody wants to see, who are BYU fans, see Tyler Allgeier get another back to that 100-yard club again. And it all starts with those big dudes. So.
I think people have been – I'll speak as a BYU fan – And an alum, but you know, I watch now because I want to see BYU win, right? And so, and I love when BYU has a running back like Tyler Allgeier's, and they you know have had certainly running backs like that, but I get frustrated when I see the end of the game and the kid's got 15 carries. And I get that some of that is predicated on what the defense is giving you.
Right.
And then you're playing catch up and you're throwing the ball a little bit more.
But he's got 15 carries. Lopini Katoa's got 9.
Yeah.
And you're kind of mixing it up and you're going, hey, man, give somebody 27 carries,
please.
Yeah, we
please. need, I think BYU needs to, it's got to be a minimum. 20 carries, 25 touches, you know, some way, shape, or form, passing the ball to him or whatever the case may be. But that's a kid that is a hard-nosed runner. And if you have injuries on the offensive line, then of course it impacts that. Nobody is so good of a running back that they can do it without an offensive line. You need that. But that's been the frustration for the last couple of weeks, I think, for BYU fan, is watching this team being unable to run the ball.
Yeah.
And when your offense looks like that and you've got multiple three and outs that you're dealing with for the observer, for the fan that's watching the game, it starts to get frustrating. It's like, man, how come we can't move the ball?
What I want to know the running's boring.
We're going to have this, I think, a lot.
But I want to get back. I want to get back to watching these guys in warmups. Right? I can't get past this. Did you tell? Like, could you tell? You go, all right, watch them, and not just the other team, but your own guys.
Right.
Could you go? Oh, we're gonna get it handed to us today, or you know, or our guys are ready to. Like, I could just see it in warmups. Like and could you tell if you're gonna win or lose just by watching guys in warmups?
Yeah, I get a feel. I always get a feel for the opponent by how they warm up, what they're doing, and how they're possessing the ball when they catch it. And how they're going about things. Are they really locked into what they're doing, or are they just out there messing around, you know? And where's the attitude of their coaches? So you try to look and see where everybody is and what they're, if they're locked in and what they're doing, or they're just going through their motions, or are they ready to play?
Did they have tells? Like you go, when you say the attitude of the coaches.
Well, a lot of times you look to see, are there a lot of guys walking around?
Oh.
In other words, when they're coming off the field, is everybody running off the field in the locker room, or is 20% of the guys running and the other 80% just kind of walking?
Hey, see, on the
I don't,
hop,
I don't know
hop,
how
go.
It was for you, yeah. Lemma, but for me, like when I played, like warming up was kind of, you know, it's just you had this routine, you had this rich, and it's like I got to go through it, and I got to go through it this way, and there's a tempo, there's a pace, there's a mindset to everything. And I would go in and go, whew, man, I gotta get over this today. I gotta figure it. Things just don't feel right today.
I think you're right. And for all players, there's a level, and there's going to be days when you're just not feeling it. Coach was talking about this before last week on Friday, looking at Arizona State. Are they coming up and they're warming up? Are they like, oh, it's cold in here? You know, just like because they're coming from obviously a warm state. And sea level, and then coming up to the altitude, you wonder how much of that is in their heads, and have they already beat themselves by focusing on things that are out of their control?
So I want to get into something when we come back here. We're going to take another break here on a Football Friday. Coach Ron McBride, Lemma Harrington right here. Unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell right here with you on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. We are at the store. It's 2050 East and 6200 South right here in Holiday. You can come down, hang out, high five Scott. We're going to come right back. We've got more to go. I want to see what Coach feels about this Nick Rolovich situation up at Wazoo.
Rolo.
And how he would deal with this week with his players with the same circumstances. So much more to go right here. We are right here, unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.